Hi.
Hi.
Where's Stevie?
I don't know, but she will be back in 15 minutes.
What are you doing?
I'm checking the mail. Did you know that you can still get mail?
Yes, I know about mail.
No, but I'm talking about, like, mail. Like a little man in a uniform with his satchel full of letters traveling door to door.
That's a mailman. And he comes to your house, you pay him, and he gives you your stuff.
I think it's free delivery.
I don't think so. How far into the 15 minutes do you think we are?
TBTL!
The faces may not look familiar, but the voices? This zany radio team have developed a unique style of frolicking on the airwaves.
I don't read the newspaper. I don't watch news on television unless there's a cat involved.
Do you have any music, Carl?
I have the internet radio.
I love internet radio.
You've come to the right place, because I have that.
Here I've been talking with the most intelligent people in the world, and I never even noticed.
Actually, you know what? I could email you. Or, you know, you could email me at splet2@splatnet.net. Splat1's my father. I mean, it'll be sad to see him go, but it'll be nice to get my hands on that handle.
Yeah. All right. Hello. Good morning, and welcome, everybody, to a Thursday edition of TBTL.
Scatman's World.
The show that just might be too beautiful to live. My name's Luke Burbank. I'm your host.
It's like someone punching your brain, but in a weirdly satisfying way.
Coming to you from the Burbank Springs Broadcast Center, perched atop Alabama Hill, in Bellingham, Washington, the Bay City, where it's a rainy July 9th.
Man, it is nasty out there.
July 9th, universe, and I don't know, planet. Honestly, we haven't been very nice to this planet, so maybe it's punishing us by making it, like, depressingly rainy on July 9th, which is kind of fair, honestly.
I'm not handling this well. I don't feel competent. I'm depressed. I'm slouching.
I'm going to sit up straight in my chair. If you can hear the difference, I'm going to put my shoulders back. And we're going to do this together, folks. Episode 3202 in a collector's series.
Let the fun begin.
If you are considering attending the Fuji Q Highland amusement park in Japan, and you go on the roller coaster, please do not scream.
Yeah.
It is banned because of COVID concerns. People said it's impossible to not scream when you're on a roller coaster. And the CEO of the Fuji Q Highland Park said, aha, hold my... What was he eating? I don't know. Hold my beer. Hold my Sapporo. And then he did something to prove that it could be done. We'll talk about that. Also, Gary Larson, the guy, legendary cartoonist behind the Far Side.
Oh, he's hilarious, dog.
He has dropped three new Far Side panels. We will take a look at them and talk about them. Also, because it's Thursday, a.k.a. a Blur's Day. This is the part of the show where I realize I don't have my little audio drop. Oh, here it is.
My birthday today.
We'll do some Blur's Day messages as well. We'll do all that with the help of this guy, the longest running Cobra of the show, known for his drawings of tall ships, their grace, their majesty. He's got a whole new approach to sandwich eating, particularly the kind of bread he's using.
Are you going to finish that croissant?
He is Andrew Walsh. And he's joining me right now from the Roosevelt neighborhood of Seattle, Washington. Good morning, my friend.
Good morning. So nice not to hear myself saying something stupid when you introduce me. I heard a smile in your voice as you were getting ready to play that drop, and I was like, uh-oh, this one's going to be a doozy. What did I say on yesterday's show that you're going to throw back in my face here at the top of the show? But no, it wasn't even me. It was just a nice little croissant drop.
Well, I'll be honest with you. You lucked out, because what I realized was back when we were talking about your... Yeah, by the way, if you're a new listener to the show, not only do we spend an entire episode talking about a sandwich, we'll reminisce 2 days later about the conversation about the sandwich.
Remember that?
And you mentioned that you had a delicious sandwich and it was on a croissant.
Mm-hmm.
And then one of our listeners, who prefers to be sort of quasi-anonymous, tweeted at me and said, "You missed an opportunity to play this audio drop.
Are you going to finish that croissant?"
And I did. And it had been bothering me. In the words of Stephen A. Smith, it bothers me. And so I just wanted to work it in there, and so I did.
And seamlessly. And nobody even brought it up, and now we can just move on with the show until we talk about it a little bit more. or unless we talk about it a little bit more. So this is a drop that has been part of the TBTL universe, I think, ever since I was a listener back in 2009. But you know what? I don't know if I know or remember the origin. It sounds a little bit like Adam Sandler. Can you play it again?
Yeah, here you go.
Are you going to finish that croissant?
It does sound a little Sandler-y, but I don't think that's right.
I don't even know who it is. To be honest with you,
really?
I don't think it's as long-running a part of the TBTL canon as you might be thinking.
Really?
It is.
Oh, okay.
It's been around for a while, but it's not something that I remember us finding in nature. I think somebody might have mailed it in. There's a whole story around that audio. I don't want to speculate. I think it's from some kind of kids show, maybe, or animated show that I didn't watch. But then what happened was when we started playing it, I got obsessed with it for a couple of weeks. I was playing it, like, all the time. And I think that's how it... Why, in your mind, you think this is... Like, this was not something I was playing on, like, day one of TBTL. What I find quite shocking is that I'm still playing as many drops as I do that were played on day one of TBTL.
Yeah. So, to the croissant thing, you know, I think in my head, I always associated that with Sean DeTore. And now that I'm thinking about it, I think... I am just kind of conflating it with Sean DeTore mispronouncing filet mignon, right?
Or chèvre.
Or chèvre. Although didn't we learn recently that chèvre was not actually a drop? You couldn't find that, right?
Yeah.
In the drop.
Okay, here we go. It's from Jimmy Neutron.
Oh.
Are you going to finish that croissant quality funny meme? I'm just going to play this, okay, which always ends poorly, but I'm going to play this directly off of YouTube. It appears to be this part of, I think this is Jimmy Neutron. Anyway, take a listen.
Any questions?
Yes. Are you going to finish that croissant?
Knock yourself out.
It looks like the kid is talking, the little kid is talking to a sort of Quentin Tarantino-esque character.
Okay.
But maybe I could be very much misreading the situation. But my sense is I think this then got kind of uploaded into, the meme-osphere and took on a whole life of its own. But I wasn't really part of this at its beginning. It got to me after it had already been memeified.
I see. So in the meme wars, though, this would be one of your weapons now. Because, I mean, if you go into a meme war, you got to know where all your weapons are.
What do you think happened to that guy?
The meme war dad?
Yeah.
I'll bet you he's going strong. I think about him. I'm not joking. Every time I listen to that tape, so that if you know what we're talking about, I recycle this tape from time to time. But you told me about this story when we were on our little mini tour last year, whenever that was. What months did that take place in? I literally don't know.
Oh, God. Yeah, me neither.
Was it summertime? Winter? Was it
10 years ago? Was it 10 minutes ago?
Right. Was it underworld? Was it overworld? I don't know. But I remember doing a show with you in a hotel room in Brooklyn, and that was one of the top stories that day. You had found a little mini documentary that a young man had made based on his dad, who is obsessed with memes and is constantly talking about going into meme wars and needing to know where all your memes are, because he'll blow you away. You get into a meme war with this guy, he's going to blow you away. I love that, man. What I like about it is that story seems like the type of thing that is kind of a put on, like he's putting on a character. But there was something about the context in the documentary that you played that I believe that, yes, he knows what he's doing. He's amplifying himself a little bit, but it is truly the type of – I get the impression that that's really what it's like to be around that guy, that he's not totally putting on a character, and that he probably does engage in something that he considers to be meme wars. Whether or not somebody else on the other side knows they're engaged in a war is – a question that I don't have an answer to, but I believe that guy does think he's engaging in meme wars.
Yeah, I found a reference to this thing. The documentary, the sort of mini doc, is called My Dad, the Facebook Addict. And the guy is named Vincent Levine. And the doc was made, it's basically just his son, Dylan, is filming his dad This is, I was reading on Kottke.org. Kottke.org is still going strong.
Oh, good.
Yeah. That's Jason Kottke. That guy's been, he's been around as long, if not longer, than old TBTL.
Yes, that's early internet days, as early as the croissant drop.
Maybe even earlier. He says he started off using, this is the dad, Vincent Levine, he started off using Facebook normally, keeping up with the news and chatting with friends, but evolved into a fierce meme warrior, stocked with a, quote, nuclear arsenal of memes at the ready to destroy anyone who wants to come at him. Vincent, this is Jason Kottke writing, Vincent is very entertaining, and it was difficult to not just quote all of his lines in the video. Mm-hmm. You can check out his Facebook account for yourself. So now I'm not, bummer. I was clicking on it. I'm not on Facebook, but sometimes I can see if there's a link to something on Facebook, I can see a limited version of it. But when I click on Vincent Levine's Facebook page, it says this page isn't available. Mm. And then it shows me a thumbs up with some kind of bandage on it, which must be
the, that sounds about right. The way, trying to get onto, I can't understand the rules of Facebook now that I'm not on Facebook. So there will be a public link and somebody sends it to me, whether it's like a announcement of an event or some video. And sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it'll work for a second, but then it'll say you have to log in, dude. And I'm like, well, I don't want to. And then it accepts
that
as an answer.
Can I offer you and the listeners some bonus content, Andrew?
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't get to Vincent Levine's Facebook page for whatever reason, but Jason Kottke was also nice enough to link to a video of the meme war dad, a YouTube video called Tell Me Again Why You Don't Blow Out the Candles. This is from 2016. I believe that I don't know if it's the son or the dad, but whoever has this YouTube account, it's called Vindog Unleashed. Which, if this guy's name is Levine, there, that could be him. Can I just play you meme war dad?
His first name is Vincent, right? Vindog.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That would be the Vin. There you go. That would make even more sense. Luke. Can I just play this and can we see what happens?
Yeah.
It's probably going to be bad. It's 41 seconds. But it's to your point about living life with Vincent Levine, a.k.a. the Vindog. This is him. There's a birthday cake. It's got three candles in it. There's a container of Breyers ice cream. And the meme war dad is just standing at this like dining room table, I guess maybe about to blow out these candles. Let's find out together.
The tradition of blowing out candles is probably the worst tradition in the history of mankind. All the germs from your breath are all over food other people.
True.
Eat. Everybody eats it, they go home, they get sick, they wonder how they got sick because they went to a birthday party. This is the proper way to put out the candles on a cake. All right, I look at it, I'm gonna make a wish. I'm wishing between you and I that there are no germs anymore on birthday cakes. And this is how I get rid of germs. Watch this. Done. What?
He just waved his hand over the candles
uh-huh.
and put them out using the sort of wind that was created. God,
it's over.
Ready to say?
No one got germs. Everything's fine. Happy birthday to me. All right?
Happy birthday to me.
That's actually pretty genius, right?
Yeah, I like Vindog. By the way, I have a bunch of meme war tape of him because I had saved it. But I'll tell you what, I will start tomorrow's show with that. That will save me from having to come up with an idea for tomorrow's show tape. And also, it'll be a compelling reason for people to tune in tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Also, tomorrow will be day 4 of me reminiscing about Andrew's sandwich story.
From Monday. You know, I've been thinking about that story. Me talking about actually two stories in a row of me just like going into deep detail about the sandwiches I ate 2 days in a row. And it's one of those things where the show is over and it's taking up too much space in my brain because I feel like I left too many details out. You know, I feel like there was just more story to tell mm-hmm. that I left a lot on the table, and that bothers me. You can't go back. I can't add the details now. I just wish I had taken some time and not rushed through those two stories 2 days in a row about the sandwiches I was eating for lunch.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, I was talking to Carrie yesterday about how shocked I was that you have anxiety about going to the drive-thru.
Oh,
so
yeah.
That was content that stuck with me. Like, and I wonder what the listeners' thoughts on that were. Like, that is, and again, I hope it doesn't sound like I'm being jokey about something that's a real experience for you, but that, I know that you know, can be an anxious person at times, self-described, but the drive-thru thing, that felt like a whole other level to me that I wouldn't have known that about you.
I'm trying to think here. Like, it's almost – walking on stage to do a live TBTL level. I'm not even joking.
Oh, my God.
Almost. Like, the last
That's
time.
That's exactly what we were saying. Carrie said, it probably feels to him, and she wasn't saying this in a dismissive way. She just said, it probably feels to him like if you or I were going on stage to do something, that's probably the actual feeling. And I thought she was maybe overstating things.
Almost. Like, I wish we could get Genevieve here. I don't even know how well she'd remember it, but like the last time we successfully went through a drive-thru when apparently the water was not turned off in the restaurant of our choice was a couple of months ago. And Genevieve's in the passenger seat. I already kind of alluded to this yesterday, but she wanted, I don't know, a spicy chicken sandwich, but it was a Wendy's we were going through. And by the way, they did mess up my order, but this was on me because I ordered Genevieve's. I was trying to order Genevieve's food first, and she's like, I want the spicy chicken thing. And so I'm like, okay, we want the spicy chicken meal. She's like, no, I don't want the meal. I want the mini spicy chicken. I don't want it to be spicy. And I realized I was adding spicy. She never added. Like, she was saying it to me. And there's something about, like, the meal structure and me ordering for somebody else. Like, I don't know. Fast food for me, I've been ordering the same maybe four or five things from four or five restaurants since I was like 16. And so like getting into meal deals and plans and I don't want the meal. Like it gets in my head.
Also, I wonder if because you're wanting it to be as uncomplicated as possible for the person working at the drive-thru, and also you kind of want to just like not be holding people up behind you, et cetera, et cetera.
Yes.
If then you end up kind of getting in a weird communication feedback loop where you're talking over the person on the speaker, they're trying to clarify, you're trying to clarify their clarification, and it gets into a that might complicate things.
Also, there is something about being in a line that you can't get out of if shit hits the fan. I don't think about this. It's not forefront on my mind as I'm driving through one of these things. But it is a very weird feeling to be in this line. Like if you're in a McDonald's and you're standing in line and the line is too long, you can bail at any moment. Or if you have to go to the bathroom, you can bail. Or if aliens attack, you can run away. Uh-huh. You're in this car in a line of cars and you have no recourse. Once you're in there and somebody pulls in behind you, you're done. You're locked in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a death shoot. I had that exact feeling when I was waiting for a pizza at Round Table and decided to go eat "quote unquote" Mexican pizza from Taco Bell.
Oh right, yeah.
They're in the same. It's the Good Decisions District of Bellingham, Washington. And for me, the big cutoff because I kind of couldn't quite believe I was doing this.
Yeah,
like I was in the car in the parking lot waiting for one pizza to be finished for a contactless drop off, and was so hungry that I was like, I'm going to go get a different kind of pizza. But as I was creeping closer to that like point of no return, it was getting, I mean, I wasn't like scared per se or I was kind of nervous. I was like, once I'm in this chute, there's no going back. I have though gone through a drive-thru and then it either took so long or something happened where I changed my mind and I have just told the person on the speaker, I'm actually not going to get anything. And you know, I'm surprised at how unremarkable that is for them. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like you'd think they'd be like, well, what happened? Please explain. And no, I think that happens probably 30 times a day to them. So it just know in your brain, Andrew, that you always have the right to say, oh, I'm okay. I'm just driving through. Just out for – hey, you know what? I'm due to get my other pizza across the parking lot. So I'm just gonna head on through. Like they don't like go, well, why did you get in the line if you're not going to eat anything? Like there are no follow-up questions.
They don't need a note from my doctor or my parents explaining?
No, they do. If you're at a like a Abompain or one of those French places, they do want to know.
Are you going to finish that croissant?
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, no. It's usually like so that should make you feel a little bit less nervous about it too.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that I would ever drive through and not. Does that happen to you often?
No, it has happened to me maybe two or three times that I can even vaguely remember. But it's been something I do. I mean, you know, I'm trying to act like I'm Mr. Big Shot who just drives through a drive-thru with zero anxiety.
Yeah. Oh, Mr. Cool Guy over here. Oh, hey, everybody, look at Mr. Cool Guy.
Anybody want to go to the drive-thru with zero stress? I'm your guy.
Milkshake in your veins, man, as you're just coolly driving through there.
Cut him open. But that is, by the way, a medical condition, Andrew, and I'm taking medicine for it, and I'm doing better. Thank you for asking.
Sorry, Wilfred
but no, like
Brimley.
I think for me, a lot of times back when I was much more careful with what I ate in terms of like carbs and such, I would be in a real struggle with like every once in a while I'd get a hankering, you know, in the midday for some kind of fast food, and it would be a mental battle for me, not around how's the ordering going to go, but should I be doing this? And so there were probably a couple times where I got in line, but then, you know, decided that I was going to wait for dinner or decide I was going to go somewhere else and eat something different. So there have been a few times where I've gone into the drive-thru chute and then just said, no, thank you. And they never said anything or even seemed moderately surprised that that was happening.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like I can't think of specific examples, but I feel like there have been times that I've been in some sort of a fast food restaurant kind of waiting in line and just like getting the bad feeling just coming on, like kind of increasingly as I'm waiting in line and bailing. I can't think of an example, but I know that it's happened to me before. Like, I'm passing a fast food place. Okay, I don't usually do this. All right. And then again, I'm not a drive-through person. So like going in and maybe like standing there. Like I remember eating at, I believe it was the Jack in the Box. It's like your Jack in the Box. I think of it as yours. Mm-hmm. I think it's the one on Aurora. And what would that be? 85th. Is that it? Okay, yeah.
Right next to the Way West Motel.
Right.
/ Evangelical church meeting in the front office.
I know that back in the day, you would kind of drive through there late at night with Camaro Kev.
Yeah.
But like,
oh, yes.
I think when I told you this story, oh, you know what it was? It was right before our last TBTL picnic. I was starving. I was running to the store to buy stuff for the picnic. And I was like, I was so hungry. And I was like, I have a moment. I was passing it. I'm like, I'm going to go in here. And I stood in line. I got out of my car and stood in line. And I remember you saying, oh, no, you don't do that in that Jack in the Box. That's not
well.
And I think I went through and ordered my food, but there was something. It was dirty in there, and it just like it was building on my mind more and more as I waited in line. And if I had been in the, if I had been in line for another 45 seconds, I might have bailed on the whole thing.
Yeah, there are a couple of those in Seattle. There's also one in the U District where you go in, and it's just it's an intense experience because you're around, you're sharing the space with a lot of people who are experiencing homelessness. A lot of the one in the U District is frightening because they've done this move where they've sort of, it feels almost like institutional. Like there's a lot of like sheet metal like attached to things so that you can't like punch through this door or whatever. Like it's maybe they were going for industrial chic, but it just feels more like, we're going to take away your shoelaces and the toilet doesn't have a seat and it also functions as a sink. Wait, I'm in Rikers. What's happening?
Right.
Like it's just the design vibe. It adds to the kind of intense experience. Although remember we tried to go to that Jack in the Box, I believe during the Vaniversary shows, but our van was too big to go through it.
Was that the one? I felt like there
was
a different
one.
And then, oh, we tried to go to the U District one, and then the driver took us further up north somewhere, right? Because I remember being in a parking lot, like north of Northgate, with you and Camaro Kev.
Well, that was when, and that was just near the Mandarin Gate, as Camaro Kev brought in a bunch of different, you know, what would you call them?
Energy drinks.
But we drank them and just...
Didn't we go to another Jack in the Box, though? We tried the one in the U District because the energy drink was first. That was outside the Mandarin Gate. Then we went to the U District to get your guys' burgers. We're denied, but then I swore the driver took us to a second location.
Very possible. Some of the listeners will know better than
it
we did.
Matter.
I mean, there was a point in that journey where I really just kind of started to leave my body. In fact, you know what? Carrie and I stopped by a very cool place that's owned by two tens in Bow, Washington. It's called Terramar, and it's a brewery and also a distillery. It is so cool. I would highly recommend it. But one of the folks that works there is also a 10. Her name is Amanda, and she had mentioned that she and I had chatted briefly after the show at the Rebar, so our like the 25th hour show or whatever. And it sort of came back to me when we started talking, but what I said to her the other day, and it's the truth, is like I have almost no memory of like everything after the first 3 hours is a blur. Everything after we went and got Jen, like over in Eastern Washington, everything after that is just kind of a weird blur to me.
Really? Yeah, it didn't. I remember you being on stage and you saying that you felt like you were definitely like on another planet and that you were really out of it. For some reason, I don't know why in that case, sleep deprivation just doesn't hit me like that. I mean, eventually it would, and I definitely felt weird and loopy and tired and all the things that go along
weird.
With being weird. Because we always say we're up for 24 hours, but we're up for way more than that because we woke up on, you know, Friday morning at our normal time, did a show.
Right.
And then
I don't know if I even thought about that.
Yeah,
you're right. It wasn't like we were sleeping and then we woke up, had a cup of coffee and got into the van. Like that was, we'd already been awake for a whole day.
Right. So, but I do, I actually have fond memories. I mean, listen, my memory is always pretty warped and riddled with holes, but I do have like very specific memories of the different legs of the journey. I mean, I remember, I believe the last like hour or 2 hours of show we did before going to the Rebar, we did in the parking lot outside of Cairo Radio with you, me, Jen, yeah. and Sean, and listening yeah. to a tape of listeners getting emotional and us getting emotional about the show. I remember that very, very well. And like, they're a little like, driving around with Genevieve trying to find birds. Do you remember the bird
yes.
watching part of that trip?
Yeah. I think we went, did we go over to like Magnolia
or
something?
I think so, yeah. It was very unsuccessful. Anyway, now I realize what I'm doing. I'm just saying, hey, remember that? I'm like Chris Farley interviewing Paul McCartney on Saturday Night Live. Just like, yeah, that
famously
was, that
popular
was really cool.
sketch.
That's true, though. That is true.
So at least as we went, we try to rip off the masters if
yeah.
we can here on TBTL.
Exactly.
All right, let's take a quick break, and then we will return with some top stories and some Blurs days. This is TBTL.
Hello and welcome to Top Story.
Tim Levin writing in businessinsider.com. Theme parks in Japan are discouraging screaming on the roller coasters to slow the coronavirus spread, with one park urging riders to please scream inside your heart.
I saw that line.
That's just got to be a translation thing, right? Like, that just must not sound as absolutely bleak in Japanese as it does.
I guess
as it does in English.
Keep your fears inside you. I don't know. No matter how I try to spin it, it keeps sounding terrible.
Please scream inside your heart. Oh, please. Hey, way ahead of you.
Keep been your doing fear it, inside you, too, while you're at it.
Been doing it for years.
Yeah.
What do you think all the ineffective coping mechanisms are? So this particular theme park, it's called Fuji Q Highland. They basically said, please don't scream if you're on the roller coasters, because as we all know, whether you're singing or yelling, or there's like different levels of kind of expectorating viral load. I want to apologize for saying
yes.
those words in that order.
Showtime.
But there's all kinds of, I think scream inside your heart might be a show title.
Yeah.
There's just like, there's all these different like levels of how much we're putting potential COVID virus out into the world. And screaming would be like one of the worst things you could do. Exercising is very bad. Singing is bad. That's why they have these choir practices, like even up here. And I think it was actually in Skagit County, but not far from here. You had a choir where a bunch of people got sick. So screaming, as you would imagine, is going to be a bad thing to do. But can you go on a roller coaster without screaming? Well, that was where this thing got very interesting to me, because basically a couple of the folks in charge of this theme park decided to go. Have you watched this video, Andrew?
No, I haven't.
Sorry, hold on. I'm going to just I'm trying to get to this. why does the world have to be so hard all the time? I wanted to go watch the video again and narrate it for you, Andrew, but this dingus website doesn't like that I'm using an ad blocker, so they want me to select the ad blocker I'm using so that I can undo it or something. Anyway, point is, I can't watch the video, but I will re-narrate it for you. It's basically like the guy who's in charge of the amusement park and somebody else, maybe like an assistant or whatever, they get on the roller coaster and they're both wearing their masks and they do the whole roller coaster completely somber. Like proving that it's possible to do a roller, to go on a roller coaster and not scream.
This is the sound of it if anybody wants to hear it.
But it ends up taking on, it feels like an art video, like an art piece. Because in proving that you can do it somberly, they have created the weirdest disconnect. You've never seen two guys looking like they're having less fun on a roller coaster.
Well, the
you've never seen two people who are screaming inside their heart harder.
Well, I don't know. I like to think that I'm on a list somewhere. Well, the thing is,
they're going to go right from this place to a drive-through, and then you'll see some real heart screaming.
Here, we're going to get to the big hill here in a second. I want to watch it, then I'm going to give you my hot takes. Ugh, this is making me so nervous. Just the sound. It's a head-on shot of the two of them.
Like, how morose do they look?
Oh, they look very morose, but also the height is getting to me and the sounds. I used to go on roller coasters a lot during a very small window of my life. Yeah, I was scared of them as a kid, then loved them as a teenager and young adult, and now can't go on them anymore. Oh, here we go. They're taking the turn. They're going. They're about to go down. I'm about to see what it looks like to scream inside your heart. Oh, he's just taking in the view.
Yeah!
There, you hit that almost perfectly, yeah.
Snuck out. Just a squeaker. One just squeaked out.
There it is. They're wearing masks. He's adjusting his mask. But yeah, it definitely looks like they're having a business meeting or something on a roller coaster, because the one guy is wearing, well, they're both wearing ties. One is wearing a bow tie. The other one is wearing a business suit. So, I don't know if that sounded.
But I don't think it has a desired effect. It doesn't make me more excited to go. Like, it doesn't. Like, the point they were trying to prove was, look, it is possible to go on this roller coaster and not scream. But it doesn't make it look very fun to me. Like, it doesn't. You know what I mean? I feel like screaming is also, it's outside. Look, I'm not an epidemiologist. I don't want to give out any questionable health advice. But I do think one of the things that we're learning is that it's more difficult for it to be transmitted outside than maybe our worst fears at the beginning.
I think so. Although I do wonder what would be going on with with all the new news about it being airborne. The idea of like you being in the front seat, but what happens to all of your expectorate? Is that the right word? To the people who are directly behind you and the seat behind that. You could see it. You know, and I could see that being more concerning than say a jogger running past me for a second on a sidewalk. You know, or
a
second.
Yeah. Because you're trapped exactly in the kind of slipstream of the people who are in front of you, which is probably bad, even if you're outside. I mean, I got really – yeah, the aerosol thing is quite concerning, but the fact that it's airborne. But again, I'm not an expert on these matters. I'm just reading the same articles we're all reading. But my sense of it was that the bad news was, if you're in a bar or – some kind of restaurant or indoor situation, it's not ventilated very well, and there are people walking around talking, yelling, being loud, and they have it, that can be living in the air for a long time, maybe up to a couple of hours. So that's like a major...
Yeah.
But if you're outside, like, you know, with all of the protests around Black Lives Matter and things like that, a shockingly low amount of transmission of the virus because of a variety of reasons we talked about the other day, which is like being outside, being on the move, and wearing masks all probably helped. So I'm a little bit, as I'm out like in the world jogging, like I actually yesterday almost considered adjusting my route, because not to get too specific, no one's going to come watch me jog. I don't think it really is any danger of me saying, but I like to jog through this one park because it's very beautiful and naturey, but the trail was too narrow and it was just causing me constant frustration with people not wearing masks and not staying 6 feet apart. And so then I adjusted the route to be on a street, which is much less kind of naturey and nice, but there's nobody but me out there. But now I'm kind of feeling like, I don't know, if I'm jogging past someone and there's 1 second where we're 5 feet apart, right now that doesn't feel as threatening to me as it felt 2 months ago.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that exact situation that you're talking about never concerned me too much, and I don't know if I'm being cavalier about it. And again, I am not Dr. Anthony Fauci here, but that idea of me walking down the sidewalk, and you know, I'm always courteous on the sidewalk anyway. I try not to walk down the middle of it, but like some joggers may feel, I don't know if they're just trying to do their part to not get in my grill, and so they'll like jog in the bike lane past me or something, give me a wide berth. Others will just jog right past you on the sidewalk, and that never bothered me. Like, I just don't think a jogger like passing us split second is that the chance of me getting something off of them in that way outside, like, that just never got in my head. Can I say one thing about roller coasters though? Is I don't scream on roller coasters. Do you?
No, I go deadly silent.
Exactly,
freaking terrified.
Exactly, I tense up. I'm grabbing the thing. I might be making a sound that goes like that, which is unpleasant. But that's the extent of it for me. I almost feel like you need to have more wits about you to sound like you're scared. You know what I mean? I feel like the people who are screaming are screaming because they're having fun.
Yeah, the levels of being chill on, or that is to say, the levels of actually enjoying a roller coaster and being kind of like exceptional at being a roller coaster rider are level one, least chill, aka Luke Burbank, completely silent, turning white, grabbing the handrail as tight as you can, mm-hmm. and gritting your teeth.
Yep, exactly.
That's
just like me on an airplane.
That's Burbs phase one is where I live. Right. To the point where Carrie will make fun of me. We, like, you know, Cedra Woolley, where she's from, has the has like a kind of 4th of July parade and a foot race and then like carnival. And there was this thing, I forget what the exact name of the ride was, but basically two people would get into this little cage, and it was like these two very long arms that each arm had a cage on the end of it. And these big arms would spin kind of counter to each other. So it would be like me and Carrie in one of the cages, and then our friend like Jake and his partner Katie in the other one. And we're spinning, and if you can imagine it, every like 2 seconds, the cages pass each other.
Mm-hmm.
And as we would go past their cages, they'd be like, ha, laughing, screaming, having fun. And at some point, and Carrie's doing the same thing, and as soon as she looks over me, and she can see that I just have like the look of death on my face.
I remember this.
Because
yeah.
it got into my head, if this thing comes somehow – if this thing becomes detached, if this cage we're in becomes detached from this arm we're on, we're dead. And I thought, you know, the good news is, you know who put this thing together? Drifters with nothing to lose.
Yeah, right.
So, you know, my standard joke on that topic. But anyway, so back to the levels of being a cool person on a roller coaster. Phase one is me. Phase two is probably screaming. And then phase three is, for me, the unthinkable, putting your arms up. Are you kidding me? Do you want to die? Like, do you literally want to die? Do you want to fly? Do you want to whiff out of this roller coaster? Do you want to whiff right out of it? Because I am constantly convinced that I am not strapped in tightly enough, or that I got the one bum roller coaster cart or car,
mm-hmm,
that like
too.
The safety mechanism is not safe enough.
Yep, me too. I'm surprised though that you and I have this in common. I would think that you would be an arms up, I'm gonna scream, just have a fun time kind of guy.
No,
I mean, I knew this isn't true, because I remembered, I don't know if you recall, but Carrie actually came on the show to talk about that. I think that your feelings were kind of hurt when she was ribbing you about that carnival ride you were on. So I think we had her on the show by telephone, mm-hmm. or something, or maybe
sounds
not by
possible.
Telephone, to talk about your experience and how you were pretty freaked out. So I knew that, but it does go, I mean, I think most listeners would say, oh, Andrew gets uptight about roller coasters. Yeah, that scans. The whole fast food drive-through thing freaks him out. Probably a fast food drive-through going at 100 miles an hour is probably going to scare him. That's, how fast do roller coasters go, by the way? How fast do you think the fastest roller coaster is? I should know this. I did a story on what was once the
Cedar
fastest.
Cedar Point?
Yeah, it was once the fastest roller coaster. Let me see here. How, do you want to take a guess,
I'm Googling
though?
It, too.
Before you...
Yes.
I want you to guess.
Unfortunately, the internet gave me an answer very quickly, so I now know the real answer.
Did you get the Formula Rossa roller coaster?
Yes.
Fastest roller coaster in the world, apparently. 149 miles per hour. That is faster than I thought.
And this thing, Formula Rossa, no thank you. I'm looking at a picture of it. It's in Abu Dhabi in the UAE. No thank you. That looks terrifying. Can I... This is completely out of the blue. But when I saw Formula Rosa, it made me think of this kind of funny thing that happened yesterday. We're doing a TV story. I'm doing a TV story about the Asian giant hornet. And we went out to talk to a guy who's a beekeeper out on this quiet little road out in a town known as Custer, Washington. And just lives on this little piece of land in a tidy, cute, modest little home. And like next door, as we're talking, we keep hearing this like revving of a car or something. And we go, we're trying to do the TV interview. Oh, because this guy who's the beekeeper had one of his hives completely destroyed by the Asian giant hornet. And we're like, what's that noise? And he goes, my neighbor apparently invented a part for Ferrari.
Whoa.
And so he gets royalties from Ferrari. And he's got a bunch of Ferraris over there that he's always messing around with. Just like some guy with a bunch of Ferraris on a just like practically like a dirt road. Like, and again, these houses were all well kept and tidy, but nothing elaborate. Like the most random road you could ever drive down for somebody who invented a critical part for Ferrari is just living with a bunch of Ferraris.
Wow. And I don't picture Ferraris going down dirt roads, by the way.
It's a little complicated because I think this person was the next. These are big, pieces of land. So I think maybe it wasn't dirt, but if it was, it started maybe closer to where we were interviewing the guy. Mm-hmm. If that makes any sense. But yeah, it wasn't like, and even the place where the Ferraris allegedly were, it wasn't overly opulent. It had a big outbuilding built, which I've noticed that's a thing that seems to happen when you get out in the country. Like, you'll see a lot of, like, pretty standard-looking homes, and then they'll have, like, an outbuilding that's, like, double the size of the house.
Mm-hmm.
And that's always an indicator of, like, oh, this is a person who digs cars or, I don't know, go-karts or lawn equipment or something. Like, I'm the opposite. I was just thinking this the other day. I'm trying to remember the last house I lived in that had a garage. Like, I guess the rental in Port Townsend had one. But generally speaking, we've gone far, far afield now from roller coasters. I do not care if my house has a garage. Is that a hot take? Is that a bold statement?
I don't think I've really ever had a usable garage since I moved out of my parents' house. So, I mean, even having a driveway would be awesome to me. Like a place to wash your car would be cool.
Well, because the thing is, like, there are a couple of elements of this house that if we were to ever sell it would probably be working against us. One is no garage, because what was the garage many years ago was converted into the TV room. And so that's what it is. You can't even get to it anymore because there's like a lawn in front of it. And then also there's no ensuite. It's like if you're in like none of the bedrooms upstairs have a bathroom attached to them. So you have to walk down the hall to the bathroom. And I guess if there was a nice place for there to be a garage at this house, I'd be fine with it. But if it to any degree blocked a view of anything or was like the first thing you saw when you drove up, I'm so happy that they turned the garage into a TV room. It's so much more useful to me. And I'm also so glad that there is not a bathroom attached to the bedroom, because I've always thought like, I don't want somebody that close. I don't want a thin door standing between what I'm doing in that bathroom and what carries here in from the bedroom. Like that is not a sexy move coming from me. I don't understand the obsession over en suites.
Well, couldn't you just get a thicker door?
You're gonna need a thicker door. I guess, but depending on depending on the walls, depending on the acoustics. I mean, it's not just sometimes, you might just live in a house, particularly a lot of the new construction, what I've noticed is a lot of the new construction is I don't want to say flimsy, but like hollow core doors and walls that are not actually that sound insulating sometimes. But it's like, again, I just watch a bunch of HGTV. And the two things people are always like really intent on is they want it to have a garage and they want it to have an ensuite. And I'm just like, isn't there a better way to use that space than a garage? And isn't there a better way to keep the sparks of passion burning than crapping next to the person who you're later going to see if you can enjoy sexual congress with? But that's just me. That's just me. I'm just saying those things are not priorities for me, but they're priorities for everyone else, which is why I will never be able to sell this house.
I just talking about the idea of having a driveway, I will say I I like being a renter in a lot of ways. This is exactly the life that I sort of envisioned. I always wanted to have a kind of a somewhat nimble life as far as being able to move around, you know, live in different cities, et cetera. And as an adult, I've mostly done that, which is cool. But I will say the one thing that I'm incredibly envious of is anybody who has a driveway and a hose. Like, not having access to a place where you can just, like, hose out a garbage can or whatever. Like, having to use your bathtub as like the best way to clean certain big things. Like sometimes to wash the car, I have to pull the car up into the bathtub. I'm talking about my Matchbox cars, of course. Were you a Matchbox kid, or were you a Hot Wheels kid, or were you a neither? Were you a Costco cars kid?
You know, I had like a couple of Hot Wheels that I had gotten from, I don't know, maybe a Christmas present from my grandparents or something. And I remember thinking they were pretty cool, but I never had a collection going of either Matchbox or Hot Wheels. And I had no like brand loyalty. I remember having a couple of them and being like, these are pretty cool. But that was about where it ended for me.
Yeah, I did have a collection. I remember I had this little briefcase full of cars, little plastic trays that would come out. I don't save a lot of stuff like that, but I'm having like such a visceral memory right now. I can remember how it smelled when you would open it up, like the smell of plastic and metal. I do think that you can sum up my childhood. And by the way, this isn't like a complaint, like, oh, I had it hard. I had tons of toys. I was spoiled in that regard. But the fact that I didn't have Legos, I had lock blocks, and the fact that I wasn't a Hot Wheels kid, I was a Matchbox kid, I feel like that sort of says a lot about me growing up as far as relating to other children my age, because those were kind of both off by a tick.
Right. Now, was it because, like, if you had wanted to be a Hot Wheels kid, could you have prevailed on your parents to get you Hot Wheels? Or was it like kind of that they were just like, well, it's kind of all the same, and you didn't want to speak up or be a problem?
My guess is, I know this is definitely true of the lock blocks, and my guess is the same is true of the Matchbox cars, which I'm sure the majority of them I got as gifts around Christmas and birthdays. My guess is that my parents thought, and maybe rightfully so, that these were the better brands. They might not have been the more popular ones, whereas, and that's kind of the difference. You will talk about going to school in off-brand jeans or shoes or things that you cared about. I didn't really care about branded clothes ever, and I still don't, sadly. But I will say that I think my parents were the lock block systems I had. By the way, I know that lock blocks, I always say this, but I know that they're known for like their big, like very childish blocks, but they had more intricate systems that I believe were integrating like mechanics into it. Like I had some motorized things with my lock block system. So it was almost like, what were some of those other like robotics toys? So it was like a mixture of Legos and some of those robotics toys, which were really cool. But again, my friends all had Legos to the degree that I had friends. But I'd go over to somebody's house, and it was like Legos were it, and lock blocks maybe were better. But my friends weren't messing around with lock blocks, you know?
You'd be like, hey, can we watch some of these beta tapes I brought over? My family has planted their flag.
Yes.
Pish Posh VHS.
Right. Pish Posh VHS, but famously, another good show title.
Beta was supposed to be better, right? That was like the story, but VHS, just for whatever reason, they won out.
I think so, yeah, because I believe that's true, because they were still using beta on the professional level, but I think for home use, it might have been cheaper. You know, VHS might have been a cheaper alternative.
I have really, honest, I don't want to say struggling, that's overstating the stakes of doing this show, Andrew, but I've been kind of wrestling a little bit with if we want to do this next story or not, because I love The Far Side so much, and I love Gary Larson's work, and I don't know if any good comes from analyzing these three new panels. I think there's some hits and some misses, but it's like, I wouldn't like it if somebody said, hey, TBTL put out a new episode, now let's just go through and dissect if it worked or not, because, you know, chances are it didn't. So I don't want to say anything, I don't want to say anything negative about the work of one Gary Larson, who I admire. But also, we hyped this so much when the news came out a while ago that he was going to start dabbling again in cartooning. That now that there's three out, I really want to talk about them. Have you looked at these? What are your if someone's going to hurt Gary Larson's feelings, could it be you, please?
Sure. But I don't think I totally am, although I will say that these are confounding. I was glad to see them on the show sheet because I saw these a few days ago. And I didn't know what to make of them. I just didn't. I'll describe them here in a second, but I went from wondering if I didn't understand the jokes or if the jokes were beyond me or if it's just like trying to get on a bicycle for the first time after, 25 years. But, I'm glad to talk about them because I'm not mad at these. Like, I think, and again, we will describe them in a second, but here's the buildup for me. Like, grew up a huge Far Side fan. You did too. We've dedicated many shows, many episodes of this podcast just reminiscing and playing games based on Far Side and our love of Far Side. And so there's a lot of pressure. I mean, obviously, we're not the only ones. Gary Larson is held in a very rare air. Like, he not only had this incredibly successful, it felt like underground, except it was mainstream, which is like really hitting the mark. And we idolized him. And then he just mic drops in 1995 and says, I'm done. Just totally mic drops. Doesn't dip his toe back in here and there. Doesn't try to do some dumb merchandising thing to make more money. I mean, he really cemented his legend in that way. And then we got excited about a year ago when we heard that he was I guess he revamped the farside.com website and was featuring a bunch of older cartoons that he had done. But in an interview, which was very interesting, he said that he had really gotten out of drawing cartoons and such because he did it so infrequently that his inks would all dry up. And so it wasn't worth it. Then he starts dinking around on an iPad as a 25-year-old or 25 year older man than he was before. And he's like, oh, I kind of like this iPad thing and maybe I'll start making some new cartoons and posting them here. And we've been waiting for, I don't know, what's it been? Maybe almost a year now. And this week he drops three cartoons and you can tell that they were made on some, the style is only slightly different. You can tell that they were probably digitally made as far as like kind of the strokes and stuff are concerned, but you see a very familiar style in here. And I'll describe the first one, which seems to be the most clearly, I guess, like a joke. We just see a busy, crowded street. A bunch of cars are in a city street. There's some people on the sidewalk. And one of the cars is a yellow pickup truck car hybrid looking thing. In the back of this truck is a bunch of animals, like a bear that looks shocked. And the head, just the head of a big buck deer. And there's a guy on the sidewalk hailing this truck. And instead of saying taxi, he's saying taxidermist. Because this isn't a taxi, it's a taxidermist. First of all, dissecting that, how do you favor my description there, Luke? Did I do an okay job of capturing it?
Yep. I think you did. It was very accurate. To me, the big thing that jumps out is the color, because I'm used to the Far Side being something that was in black and white, which was part of what I kind of loved about it, the simplicity of it. And you already set it up quite well, the idea that what got Gary Larson interested in doing this again was that he was trying something new with color. And the characters look like Far Side characters, but they're in a much more vibrant world. And yeah, the joke is, what if you were just hailing a taxidermist instead of hailing a taxi? And what would the chances be that there was a taxidermist there? I think this joke is pretty good. This could have lived. I mean, the thing that's interesting is this joke, he could have drawn this comic, 30 years ago, too. This could have been part of any of the older stuff. And I kind of like that it's a bit timeless as opposed to it's like, you know, he's trying to roast Trump or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I like the timelessness of it. But also, it's like, if you would have just said, oh, this was just pulled out of a Far Side from 30 years ago, I'd been like, yeah, that totally tracks. That would have been a joke he would have made.
And it's not one that we would have been talking about. But, I mean, that's the thing to remember as well. Like, he was doing this as a daily syndicated cartoon for a long time, then packaging them up in books. And, like, we loved those books. And you and I could reminisce for another 40 episodes about our favorite Far Side cartoons. But I'm sure there are also a million that we just don't recollect because they were just bundled up in there. And this is exactly like one of those. And I'm not mad at it. I think that there is just – Overall, we'll talk about the next two in a second too, but overall, my feelings about these are I just want my boy Gary to be happy. And I don't want to, like, the next two, I think, get increasingly kind of complicated, or at least, like, kind of frankly not funny or confusing as to why, what the joke is. But I kind of don't want to put all that pressure on him. Not that it matters right. what I think about these things, but I just wanted to go into these with the idea of, yeah, he's trying his rollerblades on for the first time in 25 years again. He's not going to be zipping it down the street really quickly. Like, he's just dinking around on his boop boop, making some cartoons. Like, I like the fact that he's just, like, emboldened to make some weird-ass stuff, and maybe it works and maybe it doesn't. And that's how I'm going to, like, approach these next two. Actually, let me start with the one that I think is on the opposite end of the spectrum of just me not understanding what's going on. There's a picnic table in the woods. There are four bears sitting around this picnic table, and in front of them on plates are little Boy Scouts. One of the bears is pouring a honey on one of the Boy Scouts, but they're all just laying down on these plates, and the bears are about to feast on these Cub Scouts. I guess they're Cub Scouts, not Boy Scouts. And the caption is, "Bears eating Cub Scouts." So it feels to me less like a cartoon or something that he would have given to a newspaper to publish, and more of just him kind of, like, it feels like a sketch.
It's like digital art.
Yeah, or like it's just like he's maybe got a different standard for himself, maybe. I know I'm totally fan-wanking here and just trying to make this work, but I get the impression that this is him just kind of drawing and doodle. This feels more like a doodle that you might leave in your notebook, but he's sharing it with the world.
Yeah, I think you're right, because I spent a good 20 minutes trying to figure out, wait, do Cub Scouts eat bears sometimes? I was trying to figure out what the joke was, and maybe the listeners will email in and clarify, but I think you're right. I think he was just kind of playing with digital art and with how to render these things using this new system, and he just decided to draw this. Like, this was just him exploring that space.
Yes.
And I'm good with it, looking at it from that perspective. And by the way, I'm with you that I want Gary Larson to – I would love nothing more than for him to enjoy this process and make more of these.
Yeah.
Like I want, you know, again, we act as if Gary Larson is a 10. There's no universe in which he will ever hear this. But my hope is that he keeps doing this, because more Far Side is more good, as far as I'm concerned. I will say the middle one of the three, which is these two aliens are kind of hiding in the bushes off of a kind of rural road, and there's like a yellow pickup truck coming, and you can see in the background their spaceship. But the older alien is talking to the younger alien, and the older one says, "Okay, Zorky, this one is all yours. Take a deep breath, relax, and give him one. Short blast. Remember, this is probe and release." So that one, I was sort of like, my comedy, as if I'm the knower of comedy, My comedy antenna kind of went up, because I was like, I think it's supposed to be a joke about catch and release, you know, people that will, like, you know, I guess catch a fish and then take a picture with it and then let it go. But what if aliens did catch and release, but they called it probe and release? I was a little confused about, I guess, that they're going to shoot the guy with these ray guns or something. But I don't think of, like, if it was a hunter with shotguns, it wouldn't be catch and release. It'd be make more sense if they had fishing poles. Mm-hmm. That was where I was starting to get really in my head about if the joke construction worked for me.
Yeah, me too, exactly the same thought process I went on. And again, I think maybe he just liked the image of this, and I like that. I like the name Zorky. But yeah, from it's mixing too many. It's mixing up its tropes or its metaphors, I feel like. It should be – I was thinking, well, maybe if they had, like, some sort of a – what would an alien net look like, or dipping into
right.
the world? Like, we have to be in
net?
An aquarium or something. Like, it's just like you don't shoot and release, unless this is a joke about hunting that I don't understand, but you don't shoot and release things. You catch and release, and that's a fishing metaphor. So in this case, having space rifles doesn't make a lot of sense. But I'll just reiterate what I said before. This one doesn't work for me, but I want to see more. Even if they're exactly of this level, I want to see how his brain works. Yeah. Keep doing it. You know, I'm not paying for it. I'm not getting ripped off in any way. I don't think he's ruining the legacy.
You.
That would be the bigger thing. And I don't feel like this is legacy ruining.
Not at all. I think it's – no, I'm actually – even though I said I don't want to be negative, what I meant was I hold Gary Larson in such high regard that even saying, oh, that joke didn't totally work for me feels like criticism.
Uh-huh.
I don't want to be doing that. But I think that this completely holds up as Far Side work, and that is kind of a relief. If it had been some sort of Scott Adams, Dilbert-esque total departure from – I don't know. Like, if it just was, I don't know, if it was just somehow like he was trying something, like something new that felt really far away from what the Far Side was to me, I would be much more bummed than just, you know, a couple of these totally work for me, but I'm very glad that they exist in the world.
There's a right way to rock and a wrong way to roll. You can just listen to your soul. Just remember that life is number one. You can be having so much fun. Just remember that life is much fun. You can be number one.
My goodness. I am just getting a late breaking Blursday. This is as close to the wire as I've ever seen a Blursday come in. This thing just came in about 5 minutes ago, man. Which means
was somebody
I don't know
just
if I can,
born?
It looks like somebody was just born and their first act was to wish themselves a happy Blursday. How did they know? How did they even know about the podcast so quickly?
Study that baby. That is a very smart baby.
Now here's where they get me though. I don't have time to edit it, so it's going to be super long. Well, I'll save that one for the last. Let's start at the beginning.
The takeaway is if you want to try to slip a Blursday past the goalkeeper without Andrew having the time to edit it down, even though the rule is supposed to be short and sweet, you're supposed to keep them short and sweet, send it at about 11:40 a.m. On a Thursday, and you will be like me sneaking onto that cruise ship through the back door when I didn't have my proper paperwork after Andrew, you and Genevieve went to Toon's house and got took pictures of my passport. You'll move right to the front of the line and with only light editing.
And I see that this isn't super long either, by the way. But anyway, we'll get to that in a second. Let's start with a little swelling in the music. Mike says, happy third Blursday to Puddle. Puddle. Remember Puddle?
Wait. Yes, I do. We were going after Puddle's name because Puddle's sibling has maybe a less it's a unique name, but then we found out that Puddle is actually a nickname, right?
Yes, Puddle is a nickname, I think. As a matter of fact, because I was wondering when Puddle was mentioned in an aside in some other email, we wondered if Puddle might have been a pet. But Mike says, she is totally a real human child. So that's pretty good. Congratulations on being a real human child, Puddle. She's the younger sibling to joke teller Langley, and her mother and I love her very much, even if she refuses to let us call her by her government name. Happy Blursday, kid.
Wait, so Puddle is the one advocating to be called Puddle.
Sounds like it, or Puddle is her government name. Adam says, I'd like to wish my wife, Carrie, a fabulous 55th Blursday. She's the best 11 a 10 could hope to have.
Cute.
Happy Blursday, Carrie. I like the way Carrie spells her name, by the way. It's K-A-R-R-I. Got this from Jason. I think we met Jason in Brooklyn. Happy Blursday to listener Alex in Brooklyn. When we're not dissecting celebrity Twitter meltdowns or how things are going in our corners of city government, we're attending live events and texting each other things like onions, 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 onions. I'm sad the virus prevents our day drinking antics this summer, so I'd like to dedicate Gary Jewell's Mad World to her. Maybe we can go out with that.
Oh.
That's the really slowed down version of the Tears for Fears cover that we were talking about. Not all that long ago. Anyway,
so congratulations on not leaning into the day drinking because of the pandemic.
Yes. Yeah, right. Or I guess you can't do it together. I guess maybe you can be doing it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
Anyway, happy Blursday, Alex. Alex has been a long-time listener, too. Katie says, happy Blursday to her brother, Zach. Thanks for tolerating years of my bad driving. Yeah. And sorry about crashing the car with you in it in front of the high school right before the final bell rang so that all of our friends and basically the entire school saw the three-car pileup. That was totally my fault. You're an amazing big-slash-little brother to me and Sam, and we love you so much.
You know what? That is one of the rare instances of somebody who's bad at driving understanding that they're bad at driving.
Yeah, right. That's a good point. Everybody thinks they're a good driver.
Carrie and I have this story of riding with my Uncle Chuck from Philadelphia down to the Jersey Shore. And he is a terrible driver. God bless. Like, for whatever reason, we felt very, very, very endangered the whole trip. And we get down there, and he literally, pulls the car over to where my Aunt Kathy's little shore house is. And he pulls a left off of this two-lane highway right in front of a car to where Carrie and I, we don't want to be rude, but we both go, ah! Like, we literally have that moment of, oh, my God, we're going to die. And he pulls into the spot and he goes, some people say I'm a really good driver. Like, he literally, and now Carrie and I will look at each other and say, some people say I'm a really good driver. Because it happened on the exact heels of him almost killing all three of us.
Now, this is not the same uncle who purportedly may have at one point been at your house watching car crash videos online, is it?
No, different uncle.
Okay.
I think that other uncle is kind of a bad driver too, but for different reasons. He's more like pedal to the metal kind of guy. Like, I think he's drives sort of a bit fast, maybe. Or
well,
used
the problem
to back
is
in the day.
He thinks that they're instructional videos. That's where
right exactly
things went haywire. Jesse says, please wish a happy Blursday to the following people. Number one, Mike the Jail Dude Frizzell. And number two, Uber Jen. Got a lot of bells going on. So happy Blursday to both of those TBTL luminaries, and that's from
right
Jesse.
We love those two major stars in the TBTL constellation.
Absolutely.
Our buddies, Mike and Uber Jen.
Yes, absolutely. Nikki in Worcester, Ohio. By the way, Worcester in this case
what?
Spelled W-O-O-S-T-E-R, Worcester, Ohio. We've talked about this. This is where Ohio Light Opera is, and I used to have to record things there sometimes. I'd like to give a Blursday shout-out to my dear friend Caitlin in Idaho. She's an all-around wonderful person who can do anything she puts her mind to. I miss our crazy grad school days at Duke, girls' night with wine and cocktails, and our annual July birthday bash. Hopefully we can reschedule our COVID-canceled reunion for next year.
Wow. We have some smart listeners. Just you say the word Duke grad school,
yeah.
And
right.
I glaze over because I was not cut out for that kind of thing. But that's impressive.
Oh, you know what? I'm sorry. It says Dude grad school. Which
Where's my grad school?
Dude,
yeah, I also didn't get into there.
So many good show titles today.
I'm gonna write that down.
Oh, by the way, I can't remember what we came up with a show title for yesterday's show, but I could not come up with any good visual art. And I'm trying to be very careful about not just grabbing art that might be copyrighted and putting it on our site because the APM folks are wary of that behavior. So yesterday's, I just wanted to let everybody know about this. If you feel like going to the show page and look up yesterday's episode, what I ended up doing is, do you remember at the end of the show, we played a voicemail from somebody who had just gotten into grad school. Congratulations again.
Yeah.
I think that was
Dude,
Laura.
Where's my grad school?
Laura in Toledo, maybe? Anyway.
Yes. Look at you remembering things.
And I just tried to make some dumb joke because the transcript on the Google voicemail system said crab school, not grad school. And I just felt the need to point that out because that's the kind of humor I am paid to do. Anyway, what I'm not paid to do is download three different Getty images to try to create a illustration of a crab in school, which I did yesterday.
Oh, I love this.
I found a cartoonish crab that had a little bit of reality to it, not too cartoonish. I found just a Getty image of just a mortarboard, like a graduation hat, if you will. And I photoshopped the hell out of that so it looked like the crab was actually wearing the hat. And then I found a blackboard background For a school setting. And then remember I told you the other day I downloaded that chalkboard font. I spent more time
no end of trouble for the show hosts.
I spent more time on that illustration for yesterday's show that nobody will see than I did on the show itself, for whatever that's worth. So happy Blur's Day to me.
This crab school picture is wonderful.
Oh, good. You into
I am
it?
Into it. The tassel, you had to like Photoshop the tassel on the claw of the crab.
The tassel was there, but I had to like get it. You notice that the hat is behind the crab in some instances.
Oh, I see.
But
it's
in front
of course,
it.
It's not on the claw. It's on the mortarboard. Then you flip it over when you graduate.
But look at how the mortarboard cuts in front of the left hand claw of the crab. Like I had to create layering. Took me a long time to do that. So
it looks good.
Thank you. Thank you. All right, more Blur's Days, or should we talk about me and my skills some more? Let's do a few more Blur's Days. Mike in Livermore says, a quick happy Blur's Day to Kayla. She and I are proximity tens. We live nearish to each other, but we never met in real life. When she heard my story about confronting a rude guy at Costco, she told me her dad would have done that too, and maybe at the same exact Costco. She's a good mom and a good 10. Happy Blur's Day. That's from Mike to Kayla.
That was Mike using his big person voice.
Yes.
Big man
I'm a
voice.
Big man. Now, I got this note from Robton. I don't know if this is to the same Kayla or not, but Robton says, can you give a big TBTL Blur's Day message to fellow 10 Kayla, a California 10?
It's got to be.
Her
I mean,
Blur's Day
how
today.
Many people named Kayla would live in California?
That's right, because Livermore is California, too. I had temporarily forgotten that. Okay. Well, there you go. Happy Blur's Day twice over, Kayla. Jillian says, happy Blur's Day to Allie in Seattle, who, this is good.
Aww.
I love this. I don't think this is the Allie that you're thinking of, because this says, happy Blur's Day to Allie in Seattle, who single-handedly saved my husband's dogs from living with his ex-wife during their divorce years ago with her badass attorney skills. It's a long story, but she's the coolest. Love, Jillian.
Wow.
Jillian. Badass,
that's
my
impressive.
Friend. Those dogs are happier.
It's not what I've heard, but anyway, let's not get into it right now. Let's just try to celebrate the Blur's Days.
Oh, did I say that Jillian is badass? I meant to say that Allie's badass. Well, maybe I don't know. Yeah. Maybe they're all badass. I don't know. I'm out of music here. You know what? We're doing this one in the clear. Aisha says, this is the one that just came in at the last minute. Aisha says, today is Cameron's true Blur's Day. Cameron is a real mensch, and I really appreciate that he has tolerated me through the coronavirus, our move to Krakow, and our first year of marriage in general. My wish for him this year is that he finds daily enjoyment and happiness. Aisha adds, I wish equal amounts of joy and happiness to his twin sister, Emily. I hope she is enjoying a day of fun in the snowy Chilean mountains. International Blur's Day, Aisha. And happy Blur's Day to Cameron and Emily.
Do you think they have the same birthday? Him and his sister?
I mean, it could have happened. What if it... you know what? There must be twins who were born on the opposite sides of midnight. That would be interesting.
Yeah.
It?
Yeah, I could see that. Like 11:59 p.m. and then 12 o'clock a.m.
Sure.
That would be kind of a...
That'd be amazing.
That could be a thing.
Yeah.
Well, happy Blur's Day, everybody. And I guess that is going to bring us to the end of the show.
Okay.
So thank you all so much for listening. I wrote down, Dude, Where's My Grad School? You said there was
that's
a
pretty good.
Tungus of show titles. Did you write down any of the other possibilities?
I did, and we're going to go out with Mad World. I need to play the cover version. I was playing the...
I have to be honest. This is going to sound like I'm being slightly negative or trying to kind of subtly subtweet this, but I would have never imagined before this pandemic how many times we'd be playing versions of the song Mad World by Tears for Fears on this show.
Well, I mean, I think it happened because the bass player at the beginning of it's not completely unrelated. The bass player had a viral video that went that kind of made its way around the web near the beginning of the pandemic, where it was the original songwriter playing it acoustically on his porch with his,
really?
With his daughter. That's what put it in my head.
Oh.
And then that's why, and then I got obsessed with the original version, you know, the version that he had done, you know, in the studio with Tears for Fears. And I put that on a mixtape. So I was listening to that a lot, and I played it for Music for Your Weekend. But I do think that, that's definitely what put it on my radar.
I see. Well, okay, let's go out with
that. Let's go out with that. As far as show titles are concerned, I wrote down Vin Dog Millionaire. Not something we said, I just wrote down. Also, The Good Decisions District, I wrote that down. I also wrote down Pish Posh VHS. I would vote for The Good Decisions District.
Yeah.
I like that.
I like it. Maybe also the search engine optimization will deliver some The Good Place viewers. People will maybe mix us up with that amazing television program.
Anything that has good in the title, maybe even.
Yeah, couldn't hurt. So, or that John Krasinski has that internet show he's doing like about good news. So, yeah, anything we can do to just basically snag some of those listeners and viewers would be great. All right, thanks for listening, everybody. We're going to be back here tomorrow with another edition of the show. It's going to be a Friday edition of the show. This week is going by very quickly for
yeah.
me. Please join us for that. Until then, enjoy your Thursday. Stay safe, take care of yourselves, take care of each other, and please remember, no mountain too tall.
And good luck to all.
Their tears are filling up their glasses. No expression, no expression. Hide my head, I wanna drown my sorrow. No tomorrow, no tomorrow. And I find it kinda funny, I find it kinda sad. The dreams in which I'm dying are the best I've ever had. I find it hard to tell you, I find it hard to take. When people run in circles, it's a very, very mad.
Power out.